This is episode 672 of the AWS podcast, released on June 17th, 2024.
Welcome, everyone, to the AWS podcast. This is Jillian Ford taking the place of Simon to do this intro, which I still, it never gets old how weird it feels, but Simon's around. He's just on vacation today, but I'm here with the one and only amazing Shruti. How's it going, Shruti?
It's going really well. And thank you for that call out. One and only amazing. I don't think anyone's ever called me that.
What? So
that's awesome.
Oh, first time for everything on the update show.
That's right. I probably am the only host who is named Shruti in our whatever history of hosts. So that might be true. And I'm excited for the updates we have here. I feel like you're right that it never gets old, that it somehow always seems hard when Simon's not around. But I also think we are finding our groove as when we do this, just you and me.
I think so too. Yeah. Multi-availability zones. We are distributed, this team. So multi-region, that's right. This one's going to be a shorter one, but there's a lot of just like really useful updates, I would say, for the folks who are listening. So let's get into them. Let's start with analytics. Amazon OpenSearch ingestion now allows you to ingest streaming data from Amazon Managed Streaming for Apache Kafka Serverless, enabling you to seamlessly index the data from Amazon MSK Serverless clusters and Amazon OpenSearch Service Managed Clusters or Serverless Collections without the need for any third-party data connectors. With this integration, you can now use Amazon OpenSearch ingestion to perform near real-time aggregations, sampling, and anomaly detection on data ingested from Amazon MSK Serverless, helping you to build efficient data pipelines to power your complex observability and analytics use cases. And another great update from the OpenSearch team is fractional 0.5 OpenSearch capacity units. So OpenSearch Serverless can be deployed starting at just 2 OCUs for production workloads. This includes 1 OCU, which is OpenSearch capacity units, for primary and standby indexing nodes at 0.5 OCU each, and 1 OCU total for search across 2 0.5 OCU active replica nodes in separate availability zones. OpenSearch Serverless will automatically scale up the OCUs based on workload demand. Additionally, for dev and test workloads that don't require high availability, OpenSearch Serverless offers a 1 OCU deployment option, further cutting costs in half with 0.5 OCU for indexing and 0.5 OCU for search. Last one on analytics is we are excited to announce a new streaming job mode on Amazon EMR Serverless, enabling you to continuously analyze and process streaming data.
All right, next up, we have a few updates under application integration. AWS Health Imaging now supports event-driven architectures by sending event notifications to Amazon EventBridge. Amazon TimeStream for live analytics is now an Amazon EventBridge Pipes target, simplifying the ingestion of time series data from sources such as Amazon Kinesis, Amazon DynamoDB, Amazon SQS, and more. Pipes provide a fully managed experience, enabling you to ingest time series data into TimeStream for live analytics without the need to write undifferentiated integration code. Always love that when AWS does the heavy lifting of writing undifferentiated code.
Totally.
AWS App Fabric, a no-code service that quickly integrates with SaaS applications to enhance an organization's security posture, now supports Jump Cloud. App Fabric provides aggregated and normalized audit logs from popular SaaS applications such as Slack, Zoom, Salesforce, Atlassian, Jira Suite, so on and so forth. By centralizing SaaS application data, App Fabric helps teams gain greater visibility into vulnerabilities in a customer's SaaS environment, enabling them to monitor threats more effectively and respond to incidents faster. IT and security teams no longer need to manage point-to-point SaaS integrations that take time away from higher-value tasks, like standardizing alerts or setting common security policies.
Now we've got artificial intelligence. Amazon SageMaker now integrates model cards into model registry, making it easier for customers to manage governance information for specific model versions directly in model registry in just a few clicks. Amazon Q Developer launches AI-powered inline completions in the command line. As developers type in their command line, Q Developer will provide real-time AI-generated code suggestions. For instance, if a developer types backtick git backtick, Q Developer might suggest backtick push origin main backtick. That's the symbol backtick, not actually writing backtick, just so you all know. Developers can accept the suggestion by simply pressing the right arrow. Amazon Titan Text Embeddings version 2, a new embeddings model in the Amazon Titan family of models, is now available for use with knowledge bases for Amazon Bedrock. Using Titan Text 2 Embeddings v2, customers can embed their data into a vector database and use it to retrieve relevant information for tasks such as questions and answers, classification, or personalized recommendations. Amazon Text Embeddings v2 is optimized for retrieval augmented generation and is an efficient model ideal for high accuracy retrieval tasks at different dimensions. The model supports flexible embedding sizes and maintains accuracy at smaller dimension sizes, helping to reduce storage costs without compromising on accuracy. When reducing from 1,024 to 512 dimensions, Titan Text Embeddings v2 retains approximately 99% retrieval accuracy, and reducing from 1,024 to 256 dimensions, the model maintains 97% accuracy. Additionally, Titan Text Embeddings version 2 includes multilingual support for over 100 languages in pre-training, as well as unit vector normalization for improving accuracy of measuring vector similarity.
Next up, we have a few updates under compute. We are excited to announce the availability of Amazon EC2 Instance Type Finder, enabling you to select the ideal EC2 instance types for your workload. This uses machine learning to help customers make quick and cost-effective selections of instance type before they provision their workloads. So using the AWS Management Console, customers can specify their workload requirement and get really good recommendations on what instances to use. Instance Type Finder is integrated with Amazon Q, which will allow customers to use natural language to specify requirements and then get the instance family suggestions. So this one's really exciting because EC2 has more than 750 instance types. And this kind of functionality with the Instance Type Finder will enable customers to easily choose the best option for their workload requirements, whether they're trying to optimize performance or lower costs, whatever that might be. And by using the EC2 Instance Type Finder in Amazon Q and other console experiences, customers will be able to make really informed decisions about what the best instance types are for their workloads and basically speed up their AWS development. Instead of having to do all this research themselves, Finder will help guide your decisions. I'm really excited about this one. EC2 Instance Types Finder is available in all commercial AWS regions. Now, one thing here that is interesting is that we already have a similar functionality that, you know, customers might be familiar with, which is called the Compute Optimizer. So, Jillian, what do you think about that? When would customers use one versus the other? And what has your experience been with Compute Optimizer?
Such a good call out on Compute Optimizer. So the folks who are listening who don't know what Compute Optimizer is, it will run analysis on your EC2 instance utilization in your AWS environment. So this is great when you are running EC2 instances and you want to be able to understand, hey, how's my utilization? Am I using the right instance type? Could I use a smaller one? Are there savings plans opportunities? So that is great for EC2 instance workloads where you're already running them. So what I love about this is now there's really no excuse, because if you've got a new workload and you're like, I don't know which one to pick, I don't know what size to pick, you've got the new instance recommendations. And then if you've got one already, you've got compute optimizer for those existing applications that are using EC2 instances. There's something for pretty much anyone who's using EC2, as long as you're using EC2, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Something for everyone. And EC2 is sort of provides the broadest and deepest set of instances. And these two functionalities help customers navigate that really broad and deep portfolio to help find the right ones for them. All right, next up we have AWS Elastic Beanstalk, which now supports .NET 8 on AL2023 Elastic Beanstalk environments. And AWS Batch now offers the job queue snapshot feature, enabling customers to observe the jobs at the front of their queues. This feature provides visibility to the existing AWS Batch Fair Share scheduling capabilities. The job queue snapshot displays the jobs at the front of your job queues to assist administrators.
Now on to customer engagement. Amazon Connect now provides time zone support for forecasts. Amazon Connect Agent Workspace now features an updated user interface to improve productivity and focus for your agents. Now we have databases. Amazon Aurora MySQL 3.07 is generally available. AWS DMS now supports Babelfish for Aurora Postgres as a source. One quick update on developer tools. Amazon CodeCatalyst now supports GitHub Cloud source code with blueprints. Blueprints are used by CodeCatalyst to set up a code repository with a working sample app, define cloud infrastructure, and run pre-configured CI/CD workflows for your project. Now customers can use CodeCatalyst blueprints to create a project with a source repository and sample source code, CI/CD workflows, and build and test reports and integrate issue tracking tools. Now we've got two updates on front-end web and mobile. Amazon API Gateway now enables customers to increase their integration timeout beyond the prior limit of 29 seconds. I know this is really exciting. If you've got any of those long-running workloads, maybe there's like a generative AI workload or there's some other SaaS type of application where you're relying on a third party and it requires this longer integration timeout, this is definitely one that you want to make sure that you bookmark as an update. That's going to definitely help you. And the last one on the front-end web and mobile updates is Amazon Location Service launches enhanced location integrity features, which offer tools to help developers evaluate the accuracy and authenticity of user-reported locations. With enhanced location integrity features, customers can now use predictive tools that anticipate user movements into or out of customer-specified areas, using criteria like time to breach and proximity to enhance monitoring and security measures. Now, one quick update on the Internet of Things. AWS IoT Device Management adds a unified connectivity metrics monitoring dashboard.
Next up, we have management and governance. Amazon CloudWatch now supports AWS CloudTrail data event logging for the GetMetricData and the GetMetricWidgetImage APIs. Amazon CloudWatch Logs Livetail now supports streaming CLI, making it possible to view, search, and filter relevant log events in real time. You can now view your logs interactively in real time as they're ingested via the AWS CLI or programmatically within your own custom dashboards inside or outside of AWS. AWS launches AWS Tax Settings API, a new public API service that enables customers to programmatically view, set, and modify tax registration information and associated business legal name and address. This launch allows you to automate tax registration updates as an enhanced offering to the AWS Tax Settings page. Up until now, customers managing tax registration information could only update this information from the tax settings page on the AWS billing console. This API now enables customers to automate setting their tax information while creating bulk accounts instead of manually setting tax registration information for accounts. This programmatic supports allow customers to build automation around setting and modifying tax registration information. customer creating accounts using the AWS account creation API and other AWS services can now fully automate their account creation process by integrating the tax registration workflow into their overall programmatic account creation process.
One update on migration and transfer. AWS Transfer Family increases message size and throughput limits for the applicability statement protocol. And last of the update show, we've got two updates on security, identity, and compliance. Amazon Inspector container image scanning is now available for Amazon Code Catalyst and GitHub Actions. And we've got an update from Audit Manager, which I think is going to be tied with the EC2 instance new recommendation update, I've got to say. Audit Manager, I love this one because there's so many industries, so many different types of businesses that can really benefit from Audit Manager. So this one's a really good one. So AWS Audit Manager has introduced a common control library that simplifies the process of automating risk and compliance assessments against enterprise controls. This new library enables governance, risk, and compliance teams to efficiently map their controls into Audit Manager for evidence collection. The new Common Control Library provides predefined and pre-mapped AWS data sources, eliminating the need to identify which AWS resources to assess for various controls. It defines AWS managed common controls based on extensive mapping and reviews by AWS certified auditors, determining the appropriate data sources for evidence collection. With this launch, Audit Manager will also deliver more evidence mappings for controls, including 1480 newly supported API calls for additional evidence. You can customize and update all evidence mappings as appropriate for your objectives. The library also reduces the need to implement different compliance standard requirements individually and review data multiple times across different compliance regimes. It identifies common requirements across controls, helping customers understand their audit readiness across multiple frameworks simultaneously. As AWS Audit Manager updates or adds data sources, such as CloudTrail events or API calls or any newly AWS config rules, or maps additional compliance frameworks to the common controls, customers automatically inherit these improvements. This removes the need for constant updating and provides the benefit of additional compliance frameworks added to the Audit Manager library. Shruti, that might be a world record of the fastest AWS update show we have ever done.
I think so. I think this was a quick and short one. But it did have some interesting ones, as you said.
Yeah, totally. EC2 recommender for new instance types, definitely. This Audit Manager, I really like that one. Shruti, where can people get a hold of you on the internet?
Yeah, you can find me on LinkedIn, Shruti Koparkar, or you can also find me on Twitter. Same thing, Shruti Koparkar.
And you can also reach out to us on aws.amazon.com/podcast. We've got a big button on the page where we would love for your feedback. And if you fill out that form, we're actually going to read it. Like Shruti and I are going to sit there and actually read it because we love hearing feedback from customers. So please reach out if you want to hear any new topics, anything feedback related about the update show, the AWS podcast.
Or a topic that you want to...
Or yeah, a topic, exactly. Yes.
Please send suggestions about what you'd like to hear more about. As Jillian said, we are an extremely customer-obsessed company, and everything we do here is working backwards from customer needs. So if there's something you want us to do a deep dive on, let us know.
That's right. All right, everyone. Until next time, keep on building.